Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Occasionally in life, you don't find your mission finds you. That's certainly the case with DuPont retirees Bob and Ann Daly, whose move to Brandywine 100 in 2018 set them on an unexpected path, helping to preserve the Newark Union Church and Cemetery. Contributor Larry Nangas brings us their story in his latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me earlier this week at the Newark Union Church to tell us more about the Dalys and their work to restore the church and cemetery. So as we do with all these stories on historic preservation, let's start with some background. What can you tell us about the significance of this building we're sitting next to and the cemetery? What are their significance?
Well, you know, we can trace the history of this property back to 339 years ago. In 1682, William Penn granted Valentine Hollingsworth, who is his friend and a fellow Quaker, 986 acres in what is now Brandywine 100. And that 968 acres stretched from Shellpot Creek all the way to the west beyond Concord Pike into the vicinity of where the Blue Ball Barn and the Alapocas Run State Park are now. Now, Hollingsworth built his home near where the church and the cemetery now stand, and he set aside land for the cemetery around 1688, 6 years after he received the land grant. Then in 1704, Quakers built a log meeting house on the property. Now, eventually, the Quakers left the area 40, 45 years after that, and they moved their meetings to Centerville and on to Kennett Square, but the cemetery remained, and it continued to serve Christians of all denominations. Now, the Newark Union Church was built in 1845 as a place where Methodists, Presbyterians, and Episcopalians could worship. It then became a Methodist church in 1888, and it remained so until 1951, when the congregation moved over to Concord Pike and became the Aldersgate United Methodist Church. An evangelical congregation then took over the building and used it until 1970. When it put up a new building, a new church, a couple hundred feet away. Since 1970, this old church has been pretty much vacant.
So the people you talk to in your piece, Bob and Ann Daly, are kind of spearheading the effort to preserve this place. Tell us a little bit about how they got involved. They didn't come to this as kind of historic preservationists by trade, correct?
Well, no, not at all. I mean, people who know a little bit about the demographics of Newcastle County know that the southern part of the county, especially below the C&D Canal, has been gaining population for the last 30 years or so, while Brandywine 100's population has become relatively smaller. Now, Bob and Ann Daly, the couple who are now most responsible for the church and the cemetery, moved in the opposite direction 3 years ago. They left the hustle and bustle of Middletown and found peace and serenity on this quiet street in Brandywine 100 that just happened to lead to the church and the cemetery. Then, within a couple of months, they started noticing regular traffic coming in and out of the cemetery, and soon they met an older couple, Ray and Jean Weldon, who were members of the family that once owned the Weldon House on Philadelphia Pike, which we had talked about on a program earlier this year. And then, as officers of the Newark Union Corporation, the Weldons had been responsible for the church and the cemetery, but they were getting on in years, and they needed to find new curators for the property that their family had been caring for hundreds of years. The Weldons struck up a friendship with the Dalys, who then agreed to take over for them. And that's how the retired DuPonters, one's an entomologist and the other is a chemist, unexpectedly became historic preservationists.
And so what do the Dalys hope to do with the site? What are their kind of plans for moving forward?
Well, the cemetery is going to remain as a cemetery, and it still is the site for 3 to 4 burials a year. The church, however, is going to undergo a significant restoration, and it actually started last year and then got largely put on hold because of the pandemic. And it is working with a very limited budget at this point, too. Now, the Dalys envision it as a multi-purpose venue, a place for weddings as well as funeral and memorial services, a venue for community meetings, and possibly as a small museum that could focus on the first families of Brandywine 100.
And unlike some other sites that we've talked about previously in terms of historic preservation, this one has had a group kind of watching over it over time. What is that group, and how much has it been able to do to kind of maintain things and keep us from seeing what we've seen in other places, which is that demolition by neglect.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, a group that's called the Newark Union Corporation officially has responsibility for the church and the cemetery. The organization was created in 1905, 116 years ago, but it did not receive status as a nonprofit organization until earlier this year. Its board of directors includes the Dalys, residents of the communities that border the property, and representatives of the families that have long used the church and the cemetery, like members of the Weldon and Hollingsworth families. According to Ann Daly, who's the corporation's treasurer, they have a fund that generates enough revenue to take care of basic maintenance for the church and for the cemetery, but it doesn't have enough to cover the significant repairs that are needed now.
You mentioned the significant repairs. Even just sitting here, you can see the site does need some work still. What exactly is needed to kind of make this site what the Dalys and others hope it could be?
Well, in the cemetery, most of the work involves raising and cleaning gravestones that have dropped below ground level and also creating memorials to servicemen who are buried there. The needs at the church are much more extensive. Restoring the large windows is about a $60,000 project. Other exterior work, including replacing the roof, repairing and repainting the stucco, and adding gutters, will cost about another $55,000. Interior work includes about $19,000 for repairing and repainting the plaster walls, plus an amount that still hasn't been determined to tear out the old ceiling tiles and also to repair and restore the pews and other woodwork inside.
So what kind of backing do the Dalys and the Newark Union Corporation have for getting all this work done? You mentioned some of the price tags. It's a lot of money. Obviously, it's got to come from somewhere.
Well, they have received grants from Preservation Delaware and another $10,000 from the Welfare Foundation. And individual donors have made pledges to pay for work to restore at least five of the windows. Now, they're using online campaign tools like Do More 24 to raise more funds. Now that the corporation has nonprofit status, they will be more aggressive in applying for grants from area businesses and from other foundations. Volunteers are pitching in to do some of the work that doesn't require professional contractors. And then they've even got descendants of the Hollingsworth family have been hired as the contractors to do the painting and the roofing work on the exterior. Now, they're getting paid, Ann Daly tells me, but they also are likely to be donating a portion of their payments back to the corporation.
So where do things stand now? What's the timetable for getting all this work done and having it be kind of what the Dalys and others envision it being?
Well, the goal is to get the exterior work done this year and the interior work in 2022, making it possible to open the church for the community's use sometime in 2023. Now, sticking to that timeline is going to depend upon their success in receiving grants and the availability of volunteers to handle some of the labor. Now, I'm not an expert, but I'm thinking that the 2023 estimate may be optimistic, but there can be no doubt about the Dalys' commitment. As Bob Daly told me, we don't want to be doing this for 10 years. We're just not getting any younger.
Larry, we've talked about various other preservation efforts around Brandywine 100. How does this one compare? It seems like it has the potential to be the most successful at preserving a historic structure and site intact while marrying it to some future use. Is that a fair assessment of the direction of this project?
Yes, it is for several reasons, although, as I mentioned, the funding issue is probably the biggest question, and that's the biggest question certainly in any historic restoration and preservation. But first of all, they're trying to restore the church to the look that it had in 1905 when the Methodists did a major renovation, and that's going to be a lot easier than, say, trying to take it back to 1845, when the entrance was on the east side of the church and the interior was configured differently. Next, the church has been maintained well enough over the years that it hadn't become a structure that could be categorized as a candidate for demolition by neglect, like the old Forwood School and the Houston House, which are no longer around, or the Weldon House and the Jester Farmhouse, which have been rescued, and the Brown Mansion, who is certainly still in the endangered category, to name a few of the structures that we have talked about in the last two or three years. Now, third, there is an established entity, this Newark Union Corporation, that has the resources to handle routine maintenance in the years going moving forward. So that being said, the future still is not a sure thing. The corporation does have to raise the money to complete the interior and exterior work. And then it's going to have to figure out how to manage the property. It's going to need volunteers or paid staff to greet museum visitors and to schedule, open the doors, and do cleanup after special events. So there's plenty to be done to make this vision a reality. But Newark Union Church is in a much better place than those other buildings I mentioned because its caring owners didn't wait until it was too late to start their rescue mission.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nightingale for his time this week. His piece on preserving and restoring the Newark Union Church and Cemetery is available at DelawarePublic.org. And we wrap up The Green next with Arts Playlist and a look at what's happening at the Biggs Museum of American Art in Dover this summer. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.